what exactly is this reading from Esther? What's it about? We've got Esther, Mordecai, Haman, Harbona, Ahasuerus, conspiracy, plot twists, and a day to give presents to the poor. Maybe today we can flesh through the story a little to understand the good mixed with the evil. Maybe today we can try to understand a little bit of kindness and love mixed together with anger and wrath. Maybe it's necessary to fill in at least a little bit of the story that's missing in this truncated reading. Let's start by saying that many, not all, but many synagogues don't take this story seriously. Instead, it's read as something more like a melodrama with cheers and hisses and noisemakers to help add to the drama of the story. Purim is a big party, kind of like Halloween, I guess. Esther is good, wonderful, the heroine when her name is read. People cheer. Haman is bad, evil, the villain when Haman's name is read. People jeer. Mordecai is good, wise, and helpful. And when Mordecai's name is read, people applaud. The king is kind of aloof, not a hero, not a villain, just doing what kings do. Her name is read, maybe we shrug our shoulders. Harbona has a small role. He points out the gallants, so we don't have to react to that. So let me read again today, and I'm going to pause for you at home to make the appropriate noises when I mention the characters. I'll make the noises too, so, because it would be weird if, you know, we were all, well, we're in online, you know, it's weird anyway, right? So, the king and Haman went to the feast with Queen Esther. Woohoo! On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, woohoo! What is your petition, Queen Esther? Woohoo! It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled. Then Queen Esther, woohoo, answered, if I have your favor, O king, and it pleases the king, let it be given to me that my petition and the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had merely been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king. Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, woohoo! Who is he and where is he who has prescribed to do this? Esther, woohoo! Said, a foe and an enemy, that wicked Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and the king. Woohoo! And the queen. Wait, the king. And the queen. Woohoo! Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs, in audience of the king, said, look, the very gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, woohoo, whose word saved this king, stands at Haman's house, 50 cubits high. And the king said, hang him with that. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king was abated. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and also the 15th day of the same month year by year, as the days which the Jews granted relief from their enemies, and as the month which they had been turned from, that had been turned from them from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor. Why it's become a party, I really don't know. Maybe a party isn't the right way for us to understand this book. No, it's poetry. I mean, it's a story. So here's some helpful background, I guess. The Book of Esther tells a story of the survival of a persecuted people. They're worried that they may not survive individually and as a culture. Historically, Hebrew people have experienced this threat many times. Also, Native Americans have experienced this. In today's cultural climate, there are many people who live in persecution and the worry for survival. LGBTQ plus folks. People who live with mental health problems. People of color. Black and indigenous people of color. So many people were part of populations marginalized by others in powerful places. Maybe even the church itself, wondering if we'll be able to continue into the future. So what did Esther do? She was proactive. She took action to take charge of the future. With God's help? Well, the book of Esther never mentions nor alludes to God. It's a godless book. Esther saved herself and her people. So what are we supposed to learn from that? I can do all things through me who strengthens me. It doesn't seem to fit with our understanding of God. Or does it? Do we live knowing that God is ever present? Someone who listens, helps, and guides? Or do we think that we can save ourselves? Both messages are in the Bible. Maybe. As we look toward our future, and as we act as advocates for marginalized and persecuted populations, we can focus on using the abilities and gifts God gives us toward helping ourselves and helping others. Esther, someone who was in a position of recognition, but no real power as a queen. But in a time of crisis, she was remarkable. She was courageous. She was responsible and clever as she foiled Haman and saved her people from annihilation. So we can learn about courage from Esther and be disturbed by much of this story. Haman's hatred. That Haman sought not only to kill Mordecai, but also all of the Jews. That the king was so easily swayed in either direction. That Haman's punishment was death. That in the events after this morning's reading and monologue, Mordecai and many with him killed hundreds in Haman's family. That the celebration of Purim, a time to celebrate when the Jews gained relief from their enemies, characterized by days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another, and presents to the poor, has its roots in such violence and anger. It's all disturbing. Because we have learned the meta-narrative and the two rules. The meta-narrative that God creates, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. God does something good, we mess up. And the two rules contained in the both Old and New Testaments. Love God, love everyone. We do not need to categorize someone based on our deep-seated opinions and beliefs. We don't need to decide that anyone is less important than anyone else. Doing something good is a reason to celebrate. Someone getting punished for doing something awful is not. Winning a competition is a reason to celebrate. Beating up on your opponent is not. Surviving violence, tragedy, exploitation, abuse can lead to a celebration of life, resiliency, and healing. Getting revenge on someone or celebrating their demise is awful. Will we have the courage to show love for all? We can love, being a caring community, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And we can do it all, but also being a people who know how to celebrate. So let's party. Amen.